Hello, my friends. As always, I'm really excited to be with you. I'm going to start our day in a little bit different way than normal. I want to extend to you some information that you may not be aware of. As I build my podcast library, I'm also building a blog, words of encouragement, and some different resources that I think that you will find incredibly helpful as you journey through whatever it is you're going through during this time. And those are all available on my website at monicaswank.com. There's also access to contact me on my homepage. You'll find at the bottom a link in order to contact me in case you are looking for some other sources from me. You'll find those listed there on the front page, speaking engagements, retreats, all different options that are available for you outside of the website as well. Again, that's monicaswank.com. As I'm recording this current podcast, it is a week away from the celebration of a birth, It's a week away from the celebration of a birth that has occurred now for centuries. And the events that lead up to that day are filled with our own personal human desires. And I will explain that as we move through this podcast, but the visions that we have of that day are warped and they're skewed into our individual views of what that day should be. For some, it's a day to be with family, a day to show appreciation for loved ones through our gifts. Typically, it's a day of great food and full bellies. But that's for some of us. Some of those events occur that way for some of us, while others might be seeking warmth under a bridge or a park bench. Some stand in line with strangers for their first meal in days. And some won't have any of those things at all. My podcast today is not about how we celebrate Christmas. I'm not trying to instill any guilt in there. I want you to think. I always am pushing for that. Think of how you process, not just your thoughts, but your actions. So my podcast today is not about this idea of celebrating Christmas. Neither is it about the inequalities of human blessings and sufferings. It's actually about warped truths. And you've heard me say that before. We believe so many different things. So today we're focusing on this idea of warped truths. Because you see, I believe that all of us lean into these misaligned beliefs for many reasons. I'm not going into all those today. But one of the greatest is that in some way we make sense of those truths or those lies, those misaligned beliefs, right? We make sense of them. And so we assign them a place in our lives because that's how we understand them best, or at least how we can face them daily without knowing fully how to process them. I'm going to get more in depth into this, so stay with me. But today I want to encourage you to see a truth. And in some way, I hope that it's my gift to you during this Christmas season. In the world that I live in and the world that you live in, we see people assigned to categories. That's a real struggle for me. And one category that I pay the closest attention to is this idea of being well or being unwell. I do that in every aspect of my work, especially as a chaplain, especially as a spiritual coach. Those are aspects that I'm fully in tune to. And for me, I don't believe that being well or being unwell is a measurable goal to be obtained, or that it's an equal place for all of us. What I do know is that for each of us as human beings, we live with challenges. It's called life. Not making light of that. We really do live with challenges. Some of us must endure even harsher lives than others. Some of us struggle with mental or psychological obstacles. And most of us, I would say all, but I can't do that because all and always are words you can't use, right? But I would say most of us live into a continuum of ups and downs. It's just, again, life. But before we go any further, I want you to hear something. Because I think the way I just said that, it could sound like I'm downplaying illnesses, but that's not what I'm doing here. Actually, what I'm saying is that this isn't a single event designated for certain people. I really want to be clear about this. I also have two other thoughts that during this podcast I want to express that I think are just as important. All humans are prone to be impacted by physical, psychological, or spiritual issues. Let me say that again. All, I used that word, all humans are prone to be impacted by physical, psychological, or spiritual issues. Because it's not just your gene makeup or your family history. Yeah, those things have bearing on specific situations, but all of us as humans are susceptible to falling into illness. The other thought that I want to express today is, and I hope that you'll pick it up clearly, is that after 35 years of reflection, study, and personal experience, I know of only one way that will combat any and all illnesses at the root. Please hear my words. Let me say it again. I know of only one way that will combat any and all illnesses at the root. But I didn't say in their cure. I said get to the root. That's really important. Please stay with me. I'm sorry. I remind you that. I think it's mostly because I squirrel moments a lot. But stay with me in key things that I say in this idea of getting to the root. It does not equate to cure. So I've written one book back in 07, and I'm in the process of writing a second book. In both of these books, the pages are about healing. They're about my healing. But also within these pages is something dear for you to hold on to, and that's hope. Why hope? Because I can't heal you. I can only offer you the means in which you seek and find peace. Let me go back just a minute to the beginning of this podcast. It was there that I mentioned we all tend to have warped truths that we buy into. Why? Why do we do this? Like, this is common, right? This is not, we don't escape this thing. So why do we do that? It's because they offer us hope. And that's not a bad thing. Hope's really important. We can't live without hope. We still might be able to exist in bodily form, but we can't live. Have you ever met someone who's just existing? It's really not the vision of a perfect life. We need hope. We need something to cling to in every situation that life presents to us. In the moments of joy that hope underlies what we believe to be the goodness, in those moments of joy, that hope underlies what we believe to be the goodness. Think about your moments of joy. But it also does the same thing in grief or sadness. It's what we hope is what we set our eyes to so that we can move beyond the heaviness of our situation. Hope is real and it's really important as well. But when we think about that, the good and the bad, another thought comes into my mind is, what do we buy into? Okay, so for a second, I'm going to throw myself under the bus. And in both of my books, I talk about a process for healing. In my second book, I really outline it step by steps. In fact, the steps look something like this. Submit to truth. Discern and live into righteous behaviors. 3, having the right answer for each situation. Isn't that ideal, right? Having the right answer for each situation. Fighting off the bad stuff. Self-protection or preservation. Having a strong foundation, really important. Talk a lot about that in my book. Also having or developing tools for getting through the tough times. They're really there, I promise. And how to track personal progress, as well as the skill to recognize unhealthy things before they are allowed to seep back into our lives. And finally, this idea of how to help others. Okay, so these things are not a magic potion, or they're not research data analyzed that's been developed into this cure-all, but they are tested both personally. I promise, I've walked through this journey, so I'm familiar with these steps. So they are tested personally, but also by many other people in, I'm going to say, the last few thousand years. And I promise I'm going to explain that to you. But they also have faults. And they require human participation. They require that one has grace for oneself. That is one of the hardest things. I use that word a lot. But that is one of the hardest things for us to understand or to actively engage in. Because these steps require that you have grace with yourself. If you can't do that, you're going to struggle through some of these steps. But they also require determination and hard work. And they also require humbleness. So those are faults, right? They set us up to be at fault with those things, because those are not easy steps sometimes to constantly participate, to constantly have grace, to constantly have determination and hard work, to constantly be humble. Those are difficult places to do, and they allow us to set ourselves up to fall. There are safety nets in this, I promise. And as you listen to me talk about those things, you probably begin to recognize one or two character traits that's not your strength. I know that I did, more than one. But these things also suggest there's a cure. And again, as I mentioned, we're prone as humans to lean into that idea of being cured. Let me process that with you. I hope I'm not offending you by asking you this, but can I ask, do you, I actually started out with the idea would, but do you still buy products, even if you know that the outcome has a 50-50 chance for success? I actually think this could go a couple different ways. Do you buy Monsters? Oh, okay, I shouldn't probably use names. But do you use energy drinks? Because they promise they'll keep you awake, but there's only a 50-50 chance for success, right? As humans, and especially as Americans, we spend a ton of money each year. I don't know what the statistics are, but they put them out every year, and it's always some astronomical amount of money. We spend a ton on diet and health food plans, or even workout systems, right? We're into these essential oils or herbal potions. But all of those things are a 50-50 shot. I also suggest in this that we go see doctors and counselors with only the same percentage of success. Not downplaying any of those things. I'm just saying we buy into those ideas knowing that when we lay our cards on the table, there's only a 50% chance that it will work and a 50% chance that it won't work. But we still do it. Again, I'm right there with you. I remember a time when my husband was working full-time on a department, fire department, and he couldn't sleep. He was working at three different departments over and sleeping overnight, and he only had one that he wasn't sleeping well at. And so as we kind of processed through what that was for him, we decided to, like, maybe we'll try some oils. So I bought him some lavender oils and a diffuser. And I understood his justification. So he wouldn't use the diffuser at work because he slept in this bunk room with six other guys. I think that's how many, but there was multiple beds in the bunk room. And so he wasn't sure how it would affect their sleeping ability. So he only used it at home. And he slept like a baby. Okay, well, at least a good baby, if you have a good baby. I, on the other hand, learned that I cannot use lavender as a sleep aid because it has the opposite effect on me. And so I was awake all night. We do what we do because we love people, right? But my point is that there are 50-50 chances that something will work. And that happened to prove 50-50 both ways for us. So when I designed the process that I developed, and it's not unique, I promise, but when I designed it, I did so using several different sources. I have read a ton, both in my degree program, but outside of that as well. I've read and studied psychologists and psychiatrists that have long-standing careers in their fields and have been very successful in their field. I researched medical books. I focused time and attention to spiritual resources. But I want to say to you that the process that I developed is still 50-50. Why am I telling you this, right? Shouldn't I be selling myself in a better light? Well, you see, I want you to see something bigger at the end of this podcast. But in the middle of that, I want you to understand that there is no system, none, that's fault-proof. Each of us is designed in a unique way. So that means that we won't receive information in the same manner. As something is presented to us, we could put 10 people in a room, male and female would be really important because we do receive information differently as male and female, but we put 10 people in the same room and have one speaker present the same thing, and each one of us would actually receive the information in a different way. It's because we accept it into our minds through an individual process. I don't think like you. You don't think like me. Thank goodness. I don't know. Thank goodness you don't think like me. Anyhow, we see and we hear it differently than others, right? It's because of the process that we use to interpret things is unique to all of us, which ultimately means that the energy and output comes in a variety of forms. And I only know one fashion for resolutions. And getting to that place tends to be bogged down with information overload. That's not to say that it's bad or unhealthy, just that there's a ton of stuff to wade through to get to the center. And I don't know that this is where it began, but I'm gonna say it started somewhere several thousand years ago with about 27 books. And then within a few more years, a lot more had surfaced. Probably all in the same time they were surfacing. But today, we're not looking at 27 or 50 or 100. Today, the numbers probably extend well into the hundreds of thousands of books. And when you think of it, that is a lot of material if you're looking for an answer in a field that you're not familiar with or even lack the beginning steps. It's overwhelming. I have to share this story because it relates to this. I went yesterday on a field trip with my oldest high school daughter. We went to see a local business that has grown nationally, and it was really exciting. I learned a ton of information, and I asked one of the guys as I was talking to him, thanking them for the presentation and showing us the tour of the buildings, and as I thanked him, I said, you know, I was really curious if you guys ever install dry hydrants. Well, if you don't know what a dry hydrant is, it's for my husband, who is a fire chief, it's really an important tool in an area that is very rural, because a dry hydrant pumps water out of a pond or what some other water source, and it gives the fire trucks the ability to pump water into their hoses to then put out the fire. So anyhow, I'm thanking this guy for this information, and I asked him, I said, hey, do you guys ever do dry hydrants? Have you ever installed anything like that? And he went on, and I know the look on my face was dumbfounded. I really was excited to ask, but he went on to explain that yes, he'd put in many, many, many. I think he even said thousands. I'm not sure because at some point he lost me, but he said he'd put in many of those over the years. And then he explained to me the process in which it's put in. And I just stood there and I tried to be appreciative. I was appreciative. I really was appreciative, but I literally had no clue what he was talking about when he was talking about air testing. And I understand those concepts, but I had no clue how he was explaining this to me, what it meant. I could not envision it, right? It's the same concept here. If it's not a field you're familiar with, it's going to feel overwhelming. And those are the times when we stop doing something because we don't know where to start. It's really hard to get to the root. And remember, that's what I was talking about here, was getting to the root. Without the understanding of where to get started, it's really difficult. So again, coming around full circle to what I started with, is what I'm telling you is I only know one surefire answer for addressing health concerns. So how are we supposed to read through that kind of mess without getting entangled in webs or even odder things? There are lots of odd things out there. The steps aren't difficult, but at the same time, they're also incredibly hard. And the path to finding this route is well trodden by lots of different personalities and genetic pools, but it's also very deeply personal. And the research and scholarly studies that have yielded indisputable truths, they're excruciatingly difficult to accept. There are two initial steps required, which many people see as one. I see them as two, and I'm not going to get into all that today. It has to do with putting on and taking off, right? There's two steps in that for me. The beginning stages of all of this to being able to get to the root is that we must allow the logic of our minds, which is, I would suggest to you, very controlling for most of us, but we must allow the logic of our minds to be saturated with belief. And that's not an easy task for us humans, because belief makes us vulnerable. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to be vulnerable. It allows us to be subjected to hurt, and with hurt often comes pain. It also offers us peace and sustainable joy. How does that happen? Because they're complete opposite ends of the spectrum. But if you're with me on this podcast, you probably have a good idea what I'm speaking about by now. But let me clarify it. As I develop the process that I use for helping those in need or those seeking peace and healing, I'm going to admit something. I cheated. Sorry. I cheated. I'm really not making light of it, but I did cheat. Because I weeded through a lot of that system. And I found a route. And while my work comes from all the places that I already mentioned, it comes from one other place. It actually has its root in one other place, and that's the Bible. And even deeper than that, it has an actual location in the book of Ephesus. I said that wrong. The book of Ephesians. That was weird. The location is in Ephesians chapter 6. But a lot of us associate the Bible with stories, which is not wrong or bad. But Ephesians chapter 6 is not, it's not a story. It's an actual step-by-step logical that our brain loves, logical outline for how to find peace, not through reshaping thoughts or behaviors, although that is ultimately involved, but rather the peace comes through a person, a God, the God. According to the Jewish tradition, it is the great I Am, or Elohim. You see, in order for these steps to work properly, you must engage in relationship, but not just any relationship. You must seek to understand the peace that comes from God. The peace, as in P-E-A-C-E, P-E-A-C-E, peace. When you're able to do that, the whole process of working towards a healthier you becomes merited. Because your honesty is real and probably very raw as you see some things about yourself that risk being painful. And when released, there's also an opposite effect. It's very freeing, very freeing. As well as you work towards a healthier place, you're deciding what right living takes. You're learning how to, what right living takes on a whole new hue, but that just did not come out right at all. It's this idea that right living takes on a whole new hue as it aligns in the spiritual world as well as the day-to-day living in such a way that the world around you is impacted by the goodness that you bring. So this whole new way of right living impacts others because you bring this goodness to them. That was an easier way to say that. It's this idea of gaining life answers that no longer feels so challenging. Sure, there's stress, but there's also clarity. And defending yourself against wrong thinking or behaviors, self-wrong thinking or self-behaviors, defending yourself against those becomes more natural for you. Self-preservation doesn't feel guilty or selfish, but it allows you to rest in your decision-making. Because you find your foundation feels solid even in the midst of personal attacks or life challenges. You also sense this confidence as you face difficulties because you're able to see the honest picture. Perhaps the best part of it all is that you're able to share it with others and then you have the opportunity to see their lives changed. So what I want to give to you this Christmas is a gift. It doesn't offer me any benefit. There's no reward in it for me. My offering alone doesn't mean that you're going to accept it. But my gift to you is deeply personal. I can't force it. I can only hope it for you. And as we end our time here today, I would ask that you would do a few things. They're pretty easy steps, actually. Reflect on what you believe about healing or health. And consider what you lean into that may be false. And then spend some time recalling the story of God and asking yourself if there isn't a place in that story for you. You know what? We've come to the end of our time together, and I love you all. I'm so glad to spend this time with you. Thank you for allowing me to journey with you. My blessings to you, my friend. Until next time.